Instead, it's third and 15. Chiefs need some Mahomes magic. Launches down the middle. Hill open. Caught. And they get it. Kansas City, the big play of 44 yards. Pressure by Buckner. Joey. And Mahomes gets it downfield finally.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
There was the decisive play. I think the most important play of Super Bowl live. Chiefs rally. You know what? Like the rest of the world at 2010 when Mahomes threw that pick, I thought game over. I was wrong. It's weird. It's hard to make sense of what happened in those final 9 minutes there. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. I know in Kansas City, Missouri or Kansas or wherever it is, somewhere in the heartland, wherever it is. I know people are rejoicing there and up in the Bay Area, people licking their wounds emotionally a little bit there. Either way, the 2019 pro football season has now been committed to history. Here to talk about that. But as you know, if you listen to the DDFP at all, we do not love living life in the rearview mirror. Except that I do like talking a lot about the history of pro football. But anyhow, we don't like to live. We like to look ahead. And so I think we need to be the first ones in to establish a little difference between ourselves and the rest of the people who talk into microphones for a living. I think it's time that we look ahead to 2020. That. But we'll do a quick review here, and we'll do both with the guy seated to my immediate left. You may have seen on Super Sunday a very handsome devil wearing number 10 in a white jersey with red trim. Very handsome indeed. But is he as handsome as one of our favorites? He is a soon-to-be digital Wall of Famer here in Studio 66. David Carr, what's the poop, fella?
Hey, man, I'm doing great.
Even with the hairdo, which still ain't where it needs to be, you know?
You know, well, at this point, I have to keep it a little bit irregular just for you.
I know. Mama Carr weighed in. She came to her boy's defense on social media. Don't bully my boy.
Because she goes back, because the bowl cut was real, and she cut my hair when I was growing up, and you're going to attack my hair. She's definitely going to come for you, bro.
Well, Darren Carr jumped in. He agreed with me, I think, that it was a little bit.
He thinks it's much. He always says it's a little much. Do you need more attention? That's what he says to me. Do you need more?
Because that's my hypothesis, is that you do it like Johnny Depp, who wears the earrings and the looks unkempt and everything. And the message that you're both sending is, look at how I am going out of my way to make myself unattractive, and yet I'm still so much more handsome than you. I feel like that's the case, right?
I kind of like that theory. So does that make it true? Probably.
Maybe somewhere deep in your heart, you know that, which I guess makes you a good person, not a show off, because you're like, I'm just trying to come back to the mean, you know?
Right. I understand that. I've just always wanted, I just want something a little bit different. I look at Jimmy's hair and like, it's fine. You know, we have similar hair. Like, mine's really like thick and like, there's a lot going on up there and I have to put a lot of crap in it to keep it in place. And Jimmy just has a normal little short haircut that's easy. Maybe I go to that, but then I just...
Who's more handsome, you or Jimmy G?
How weird would that be if I was just like me?
Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass, who do you think?
Look, out of the two...
Be honest, don't jive, just because one's in here.
Let me turn on the smolder.
Out of the two of them, only one of them is a regular guest on the EDFP.
That's not the way you do things.
That's how I do it.
That's right.
It's
internal beauty as well.
I don't like... Well, you know what? I'll leave that to the missus. All right, let's talk about Super Bowl live here.
Let's do it.
And what went down there, and then we'll turn our gaze to the 2020 season. The question that seems like everybody's asking is, did the Chiefs win or did the Niners lose? And the answer, of course, is both, as is true with every football game. But what's the takeaway now? To me, the best thing is, this is great for pro football. Because you want a new yardstick, and now the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, two full seasons as a starter in, now establishes the new yardstick for the rest of pro football to chase.
Well, it's just it's different because he does things so unconventionally, and I find myself sitting on the couch watching this game and almost screaming at my TV because Andy Reid just continually just taking shots and shots down the field, and Patrick Mahomes almost on every dropback was under intense pressure. Bosa was in his lap. He's knocking the ball around. He's barely surviving, getting out of sacks. And they just didn't have to make it that hard for me because San Francisco came in. They were going to rush four, sometimes five. And when they did rush five, they made a play. Sometimes they actually it turned into a bad play. But then they would play good coverage on the back end. And they just continually had these double move routes, Kansas City, double move, triple move routes, just trying to do all this elaborate stuff when you didn't really have to do it. And I think I might have tweeted it, like, just find some completions, like throw some hitches and some comebacks and throw some curl, like just make it simple. And they did a couple times. That I don't know if that helped their comeback. It was obviously the big play to Tyreek. But yeah, man, they just made it so hard on Patrick. Patrick was not only fighting a good defense, he was battling even some of his own aggressiveness on the sideline, you know, in play calling. And it eventually won the Super Bowl for him. So,
but at 9 minutes with the Niners up 10, the game to me, I sat down. I'll name drop. I watched the game at Adam Carolla's. He has a big warehouse that on
seems
Sundays.
Like a great guy. I've never met Adam.
Oh, he's delightful.
Yeah.
Oh, you two. Oh, you would be fast friends.
Oh, fantastic.
You know what? If you want to kibitz with him on his high-end podcast. None
of
this.
High-end, is it bigger than what you do here?
Oh, listen.
Really?
We're the JV. You go on that one.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
I'll be the judge of that.
Listen, you'll come over and you'll do it. We'll get you on the phone at some point soon. Okay. But anyway, I sat down next to him with nine at that pick and started to go over the history of, you know, that the high, we talked about it ad nauseum for 2 weeks in advance of the game, that the high end defense almost always beats the high end offense in the Super Bowl. And I said, here we have another example. I was talking about it in the past tense already. The game's over.
But it
now
has happened so many times. Like, I remember talking to Kurt about it this week, Kurt Warner out there in Miami. It's like, when have we ever seen the great individual player go up against the great defense and win? Like, it really never happens. Like, you even think about, like, Cam Newton when he was...
No, that's the many examples
of that. It just doesn't ever work out. And I found myself, like, halfway through that game saying, it's not going to work out for Kansas City. And this is depressing, you know, because they... And I don't even really like the Chiefs. And my brother is the quarterback for the Raiders. But I like Pat.
We'll
like
get into
Andy.
That. Is he? I'm sure. Is he or was he?
Yeah, I guess we'll figure that out too later. But it's like, man, it doesn't have to be this hard. And Patrick is just, he just showed how great he is.
Did he?
Figured it out. He did because he had a bad game.
He
had a bad game.
What do we talk about all the time?
Sean O'Hara was talking to him. He's like, no, he's the MVP. I was like, it was a terrible game. He survived based off sheer athleticism and will and just God-given ability to make crazy plays.
I think, by the way, the MVP debate, and I love those debates, and I think it's a remarkable thing that came up last week, is that it's been 22 years since a running back won the Super Bowl MVP. We're not talking about right tackle or something. I mean
that's kind of crazy.
And by the way, maybe you could have given it to Mitchell Schwartz too.
Yeah.
For the offensive line or whatever.
I
but
mean, what did he give up? Did he give up on pressure? I don't even know if he gave up one.
I'll say this.
Maybe one.
That Patrick Mahomes kind of by default has to get the MVP though.
He almost got it by default too. Damien Williams, is that what
he has a 40-yard run at the end, which is obviously puts the game away. But Mahomes, you know, I think that was significant that Mahomes, I mean, think about how the whole game could have swung when Jimmy Ward pops him and Jimmy Ward comes up worse. But, you know, there are a lot of times where the QB
it happened like two or three times where I was like, wow. And then even my son, Tyler, was sitting there right there on the couch and he's like, he looks at me because he knows I always yell at our high school quarterbacks, like, don't take unnecessary shots. Like, you'd like to play the rest of the games, right? I need you to throw passes to my son. If you've seen our backup, like, that's the kind of comments that I'll make to him. And then Patrick's throwing his body around, and he looks at me, he's like, should he be doing that? I'm like, it's a Super Bowl.
How crazy is it? Yeah. And you think about how often quarterbacks have to leave the game. How rare it's been in 54 editions now that the backup has played a big role. Because, I mean, obviously the Chiefs this year and Teddy Bridgewater for Breeze and so on. Think about that. The game's never really – that never that's really true. Happens. But that's a big moment that Mahomes pops back up rather than I got dinged there. I got to take a series off or something like that. But, to your larger point, Mahomes wasn't good for – again, 9 minutes to go. And the thing I said to Carolla was, and I say to you now is, I mean, let's take a moment to appreciate the Niners defense has kept Patrick Mahomes and company to 10 points. They have 10 points and the game's over, I thought.
They did an incredible job. And you see, like, you can see Bosa's emotion at the end of the game. It's because he played incredible. Like, if that ball that he knocks out of Patrick's hands doesn't go forward, but it goes backwards and he falls on it, or he's the MVP of the game, and they win the And then you're sitting here having the thoughts that I still have, like, why did Kansas City not just be more efficient and get the ball out? And San Francisco played great, and they did. They played great on defense, so I can understand. Man, they got to be. I mean, it does not feel good to lose Super Bowl, I'm sure, but that's got to feel even worse.
Do you, the other side, the quarterback, and you know what? I come out of this game saying what I said pretty much all through this season, which is people are sleeping on Jimmy G. Yes, he is not one of the 3 to 7 quarterbacks who you can drop in to a pro football team and expect them to kind of carry the day. Yeah. No matter what the circumstances around them are, he needs play action and all that. Based on the way the game had then flowed, and then they started putting Jimmy G weirdly back in the gun a lot instead of letting him work action.
Yeah.
That's when he becomes human.
Yeah.
He's dependent on the play action, which is not a knock per se on him.
No, and I don't know why they did that either. It's interesting that you caught that, because that's not what they've done all year. They've stayed in the play action game. They've stayed where they run the football. I mean, even in that last drive, they run the ball the first couple times. Raheem Mostert's got two nice runs, and then they start throwing it around. You're like,
I loved it with the season, with the Super Bowl, the Lombardi on the line, that they came out running. It was like, they're down four. They need to drive the field and get a touchdown here.
Yeah.
They're running it. No, they're just going to run it at them.
I had the tweet like ready. I'm like, well, how do I phrase this? Like, Raheem Mostert's about to go on a quarterback legacy drive. Like, that's basically what you're about to see, is just like him running down the field and winning the Super Bowl, and Jimmy didn't throw the pass. I bet that's how, I mean, Kyle would have loved that, to have that back, but man, I thought that's the way it was going to go, but then they didn't. They started throwing it around.
Do you hang it on Jimmy G on any level? Because the thing Jimmy G always does is, and the thing with the play action that gets him, and it got him again in the Super Bowl, not on the pick where he got hit and loaded it out there and got a little anxious to get rid of the ball.
Happens.
But again, he does get lost when he picks his head back up from play action.
Yeah.
When he drops his head and looks back up, that's when he struggles, it seems. But you have to let him do that. I don't care about any of that stuff as much as I do that deep ball to Emmanuel Sanders.
That's the ticket, man. That's what I was going to tell you.
But Emmanuel Sanders hadn't even come out of his break yet.
Didn't.
Do you hang that on? Is that a throw that he has to make?
Well, yes. But it's a throw that's not easy. Now, he made that throw in New Orleans and they won the game to the same player. It was slightly underthrown there, but I mean, you have to make it. I mean, you could see Kyle Shanahan on the sideline. He knew that was it. He was like, that was our shot. And the thing that kind of struck me about that one is it wasn't just like usually it's a step overthrown or it's underthrown or perfect. There's like those three things. Rarely do you see it 10 yards over the guy's head. And you're like, oh, man, nerves. That's nerves.
Is that, well, that's what
it's
I'm
nerves,
asking.
100%. Because he can throw that ball. He'll throw that ball 100 times this offseason and he'll never miss it like that. He will never miss it that far. But he missed it there, and he just gave it a little bit extra because he thought he had to, and it just kind of – that's a crazy thing, man, what your nerves can do to your physical ability, and it got him there a little bit.
He does seem pretty composed, you know.
Well, he's been great.
In the run-up
that.
To the game,
yeah.
In the big spots in the postseason, in Seattle in Week 17.
Yep.
There's something in those cutaways, as much as you can read a human being. There's sort of like, man –
yeah.
He's not feeling heat right now. You don't get the sense of that.
No, and I didn't get the sense of that really.
But suddenly they go down four when they had the game under control. All of a sudden I thought this is a gigantic spot.
It's an immense amount of pressure that literally maybe less than 1% of 1% of people are ever going to feel in that situation. I mean, it's literally your livelihood and you're out there and you're in the biggest moment of your life. And I mean, he really will. He'll throw that ball 100 times the rest of his life and he'll hit it. Probably 98 times. He'll never throw it 10 yards over his head. And it's just amazing what those moments can either do for you.
Is he, because those are the two central figures, of course, in just about any team in the biggest game, or the quarterback and the head coach, is Jimmy G ultimately more culpable or is Kyle Shanahan? We have to assess blame. It's our responsibility.
Well, I think Jimmy is what Jimmy is. He's not what Patrick Mahomes is from an athletic standpoint. He is what you've seen all year. And I think I don't put that much blame on Jimmy. I mean, you can talk about some of the Patrick Mahomes actually missed more throws than Jimmy did.
I agree. Yeah. And by the way, Jimmy G's best throw was the one to Kittle that got overturned, and that was a bad call.
What can he do about that? Yeah, I mean, exactly. And I mean, they both had their arms extended. I mean, that stuff is kind of...
If he moves Sorensen, if you can see Sorensen's body turn
right
by the push, then that's fine. And his cousin Sal, another name drop, I'm watching the game with him too. He said, look at the Kyle Rudolph push off in NOLA, which I didn't think was egregious either. But he said at least it moves the DB.
Yeah, exactly. No, I didn't think that. I thought that. But when you're a quarterback and an offensive guy, everyone's always like, and I bring that up in my group, I'm like, that's not even pass interference. And everybody, of course, they attack.
Really?
Because I'm a quarterback, and I, of course. And then my brother Darren is there, and he's the defensive guy. And every time the offensive guy touches a defensive guy, it's pass interference on the offense. So we have that little debate. But no, Kyle Shanahan is the guy that, for me, like, I know he's great. And I obviously have a lot of affection for his play calling. I love watching him call offense. But I think that there's something that we've talked about before, that I'm sitting there with Sean O'Hare earlier today, and we're talking about how situationally, guys that call plays, they just don't have the ability, and I think it's human nature to be able to do both, to micromanage and call the plays and figure out what you're going to do, and are we getting the right look? And then, oh, I got to call a timeout, it's fourth down. Or, you know, right before the half, you got John Lynch up in the press box looking for a timeout, and Kyle just lets the clock run down, and he says that it's because he was nervous that we'd give Pat the ball back with too much time. You know what else would happen? If you don't score here, it's going to be easier for him to come back. So there's a lot of things situationally that, like, drove me nuts watching that game with Kyle. And it's going to bother him. You know, the two biggest comebacks in Super Bowl history now have his offense attached to it on the other side. So, I mean, that's something they got to look at. I mean, I even said, like, just grab somebody that's an ex. You could have put a headset on your dad who's at the game and said, just watch me on situational stuff. Like, that would be – that story would have blown up so huge. But it is – I mean, when you're talking about winning a Super Bowl, I think you have to have a guy that does that. A lot of times it's a special teams coach, if it's not your head coach, that kind of keeps you up to tabs on that situational stuff. But I think if you just think you're going to do it all yourself, we saw it with Sean McVay last year in the Super Bowl. How bad was that? I mean, he's a great play caller.
Mike Tomlin finally did something about that after however many years.
At least he's done something about it. You know, and that's what I would argue. If I was in charge of an NFL franchise, that would be the very first thing I'd do, is make sure that what's happened in the last two Super Bowls doesn't happen to my team. So
I wonder if it makes any difference to, not to, 2020 hindsighted. I also wonder, talk about situationally, I might have punted where they went for it on fourth down. Were they really going to convert there reasonably? And the other side of that coin is, I think when you start almost always against the Chiefs, and by the way, as we kind of transition into 2020, the push and pull of offense versus defense, and, you know, 2 years ago, it was, Mahomes and Goff in the crazy game in the Coliseum, and then defense took over, and then this whole past year has been almost all about the defense.
Yeah, it really has.
The high-end defenses, and Patrick Mahomes, the anomaly who kind of flips that, and I think that is now a harbinger of what we're going to see in 2020. I think things are going to flip back to offense, at least to the degree, and in a big way, Harbaugh and the Ravens going for it constantly like that foot on the gas kind of mentality.
Yeah.
And the idea that, like, well, let's just field position the Chiefs. It doesn't matter. Mahomes makes one throw, and you've now negated the field position.
You had him at 3rd and 15 on your own, whatever that was back there, and he makes one throw and then another one to Kelce, and it's a pass interference, and then they're in the end zone.
I think that the little benefit, that the advantage that the Ravens had through this season, they're going to be victims of their own success as people kind of copycat in broad strokes. Obviously, everybody doesn't have Lamar Jackson, but I think in broad strokes, people are going to see the wisdom in, you got to be more aggressive in the game today, because now, as we say, the new yardstick is the Patrick Mahomes Kansas City Chiefs. And if you think you're just going to depress scoring for 60 minutes, you're unlikely to be able to do that. You better the goal has to be, we got to get as many points up on the board as we can possibly get.
I think that's exactly right. Yeah, I don't see. I mean, and I've been watching football and playing football for a long time, and as have, everyone that I usually conversate with this about. It's like, when have you ever seen that work? Like, maybe it works every once in a while, but when you're on the defensive and you're like trying to, well, I didn't, I mean, how many conversations have we had or heard or listened to postgame press conferences like, well, I just didn't want to give him another shot at, you know, point. Well, you lost because you didn't take a shot at points. Like, imagine if Kyle Shanahan right now, if you're like, hey, Kyle, what if we gave you another minute and three timeouts? Would you like to have that right now? That's what you had at halftime before you were so scared of the other team's quarterback that you ran it twice, and then you were kind of forced based off their timeout to throw the ball. And then your quarterback made two great throws. So, like, what were you so afraid of? You know, like, I mean, that's gas pedal all the way, man. That's,
yeah, it's it, but then, you know, if yeah, who knows, Jimmy G gets, yeah, if he turns the ball over on their side of the field, but once he hits it to Kittle, and it's like,
totally
well, now you're
that.
Jammed up. Now you must kick the field goal until they call it back. But it, at minimum, they should have gone in at 13-10.
Yeah.
They should have had the lead there. The bottom line to me is, and I took the Niners in this one, I thought they were going to win the game. I thought they had it won, but ultimately I feel like this is good news for pro football in leagues, in these major sports leagues that we all obsess over. I know parity makes sense definitely the commissioners like it. League partners that pay billions of dollars to broadcast the stuff. It keeps more fans engaged for longer. I get all that, but I always go back to, I always forget the guy's name, the bad guy kid in The Incredibles who says, he's like, when everyone is super, no one is.
Crazy orange hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy, like you want that to be true.
Yeah.
You like the idea of that, but not superheroes. And we want superheroes as sports fans.
Absolutely.
We don't want everybody regressing to the mean. We want some standouts, and they give the yardstick. And as the Patriots perhaps fade away, we don't know for sure that they will. But if they do, now Patrick Mahomes sits in a spot that it's a position of luxury that Marino wishes he had back after his second full season as a starter, or second year as a starter, not full time for that whole season in 1984. But anyway.
It's interesting that you bring up Marino because
that's the comp that I've been continually.
It's exactly
making.
Right, and just I mean obviously the career path and what they did in their first couple of years, but like he ended up winning. Now Patrick, like you said, is in a different position than Marino is. But I mean it is going to shift a little bit now. I mean he's going to get paid, and so you can't pay some other guys. And can he now take his game from maybe being a little bit crazy and making these fantastic plays and kind of dial it down? It's going to be very difficult for him to look at a year after that and say, what can I fix? Can I be more efficient in certain areas? Because you're not going to win every one of those games that you just went out and tried to play. Because it wasn't a clean game. He just, like I said, survived off some of his just incredible playmaking ability. So if he can dial that more in and become more, you know, go look at, okay, say Tom Brady, Drew Brees. Like, I'm not even close to the type of player those guys are. We're completely different type players. But what do they do very well that made them super efficient and consistent? And what can I bring from their game and kind of plug it into my own? And then I also have all that crazy athletic ability on top of it. If you can become as efficient as Drew Brees and Tom Brady, and you have all that crazy athletic ability, this team
okay,
can play
answer
for a
this
long
question
time.
Then. I asked it to Mina Kimes a year ago. I asked it to Matt Money Smith a week ago. Now I ask you with the benefit of 54 in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
15 years from now, do we say Patrick Mahomes, greatest quarterback in Super Bowl era history?
I think it's going to depend on what I was just kind of alluding to is the longevity.
How's he going to blow it though? Barring injury, of course. The numbers are going to be there. He already has the ring. He has one MVP.
Yeah.
Things are already set up, and he's 24.
Well, I think how he's going to blow it is not having – just think about the guys that he has to throw the football to. It's a track team, basically. You got Travis Kelce, who's arguably one of the best tight ends in the football. Tyreek Hill, probably the most dangerous weapon on the outside in the game. Sammy Watkins isn't a bad football player. So you think about all those pieces that they have. If they start dwindling because of the fact that you're making $40 million a year, which is not a bad thing. Go get it, man. I'm just saying that's the how it normally goes. If you don't have those pieces and you can't make these dynamic plays as consistently, and they're not consistent now. They make them. If you can't do that, then you're going to maybe fall short a couple times in one of these games of the five that you came back from double digit deficits that you did this year, which has never happened in the history of the Super Bowl era. Then are you going to be able to consistently do that? So you have to really say, okay, Andy Reid and Pat, how can we do this for 10 years? Or 15 years. Well, we have to be more like these other guys, like Brady. Like, just look at them. Look at what Drew Brees does. Look at the guys that can't move and can't make the dynamic plays you do. How are they effective? And make that your strength, and then you have all that extra ability. Then, yes, we can say Patrick Mahomes was the greatest quarterback in Super Bowl history.
All right. That's
it.
That was a great answer, except you didn't answer me at all.
I did.
Is he,
yes.
15 years, is the answer yes or no? Is he the greatest quarterback in Super Bowl era history?
I just don't know how the kid's wired enough to, is he going to want to do that? Is
he going to turn up fat in August of 2020?
His dad was not a small man. Like, he could be 300 pounds at some point.
What if he did?
And just like, I'm just going to rip it. You know, I like Patrick. I love that kid.
He's football's Babe Ruth all of a sudden. He's super
fat. Is he just
going
to do that? I don't know.
One thing that we have now proven for the millionth time, and now listen to me. And by the way, I agree that how Christian McCaffrey was treated on that one show by Kellerman and the other guy.
Oh, I saw that. That was crazy.
And they just basically, I don't know why they just didn't have him stand on a platform and spin around while they talked about him. They didn't even talk to him. They just were like, I like other guys better than him. The answer is, what I like about running backs now, and it is abundantly clear, is ones that don't cost millions and millions of dollars.
Man,
you should only be drafting guys and running them into the ground,
yes,
fair or otherwise, and finding bargains out there on the dustbin.
They ever get crazy and say, I want more money, just say, we'll get somebody else.
Christian McCaffrey, I know this is bad news, but as we do what is one of my very favorite things to do every year, this week is to way too early start projecting into this into next year.
Nice.
Before free agency,
sure,
and the draft and everything else.
They don't have the confetti off the ground in Miami. We're going to.
I know this is all upset. Panthers fans and Titans fans and whoever else. Right? You do not sign those guys. We can't let Christian McCaffrey. What are you, crazy?
Yeah, you can.
You have to.
You can. You're going to do it. You have to do it. Don't make him the face of your. Don't put him on your website. Don't put him on your social media stuff as the face, as the guy, because he's going to. You got to let him go.
Tag him.
Sure, that's fine.
Get one extra year out of him.
Yeah.
Same for you,
we'll
Saints with Kamara.
We'll keep tagging you until you don't want to be tagged anymore, until we can't do it. I don't even know the rules on that, but yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so that we've established that for 100%, 2020.
That is the way to go.
You agree with me that offense pushes back on the defense that was dominant this year? That was the run the ball.
Yeah.
Dominate on defense. These are the teams that kind of emerged into January, and
yes,
and the Chiefs. Little anomalous, but they did have to fix their defense. And Chris Jones' return and Frank Clark overcoming the defense was much better once the pinched nerve kind of, it seemed.
Yeah, they played a lot
fixed
better.
Up.
Yeah,
once Frank Clark, that was a central piece for them.
I agree.
I think offense comes back, unless you want to push back on that.
No, I think that offense comes back. I think that there's too much. When you watch the games, there's too much benefit to being aggressive.
I think you see more and more teams going for it on fourth down in 2020.
It's one or two plays, and you're just like, well, why do we even worry about pinning them deep with the punt? Like, that's
right.
Irrelevant.
Exactly. So. Okay. One. Two, the QB carousel will spin and spin this offseason, perhaps as it's never spun before. I think Tom Brady... As far as I know, I'm the first person to say Tom Brady to the Chargers 3 or so months ago, and a lot of people have jumped on that one. Now we hear the Las Vegas Raiders, but they already have a quarterback.
Sorry, what happened?
They have that was a rumor.
Oh,
that
okay.
The Raiders are interested in chasing Tom Brady, and my first thought was, wait, I saw the Raiders play, and I felt like they had a quarterback,
yeah,
a franchise QB.
Strange.
Now, I also think Tom Brady was going to leave. I thought he was going to leave because Josh McDaniels, I assumed, was going to leave the Patriots. And
yes,
then why would Brady stay? But with McDaniels back, and I also keep saying they're really close. If they could sign Hunter Henry or something like that, that offense will be fine.
Yes.
But if Tom Brady, even if he doesn't move, a big piece is that aforementioned quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. If he moves, then that could disrupt the whole setup of quarterbacks. There could be
a
ton of movement. What is your insight on one Derek Carr, number four, quarterback of the Oakland Raiders 2019? Is he the Las Vegas Raiders quarterback 2020?
I mean, when I just sit back and look, and I try not to be biased and I try to pretend like he doesn't text me and like we're not sitting next to each other on the couch when I'm having these thoughts. So when I do that and I look at Jimmy Garoppolo making it to the Super Bowl, I mean, is that really what we're talking about? If you're just looking, I understand Tom Brady can change the culture pretty much anywhere he goes if he wanted to. first of all, to your point about Josh McDaniels, if he's in New England, Tom Brady's in New England. And if Tom Brady's going to go somewhere else, he only works like 2 days in the offseason, like with his team. Mm. He's got it to the point in New England where he goes in and he goes to like 2 or 3 days of their mandatory stuff. And that's the only time he's there. If he takes that, then he goes to another team. He's going to have to install this 20-year offense and this knowledge of the system. And he's going to have to try and build that into another program. That's going to take more than 3 days.
How does that?
Is he willing to do that?
People like me glibly say, like, learn a whole new system. Legitimately, how hard is
it? It's not even a new system. It's like an entire new language.
So with Tom Brady, how would that go realistically? Let's say, I don't know if I want to say Raiders because
pick the Chargers. That's fine.
Yeah. Wow, look at that. Hey, from the outside looking in, man, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and if you keep Hunter Henry and a good defense, wow, that's juicy. The downside is does Tom Brady walk in there and say, okay, I've been doing this for 20 years, and here's what I think. Well, here's the playbook. Could Tom Brady, does he have the juice to basically, like, here are all the plays that we're going to run in 2020, or would that?
Yes, he has the juice to do
so
that.
So it wouldn't be like I have to learn a new offense.
But here's the problem. It's a good point, because if he does have the juice to do that, I don't think that he would do that. I don't think that he would. I don't think people understand how much. It would literally be like me going into a room and having to teach everyone a new language before August.
So it's wouldn't
we
be
have
so
to learn
the,
it.
The onus isn't on Brady because of, you know, 20 years, and we're bringing you in there, and I assume that they would, from the coaching staff, would give assurances. Yeah, what you want to do, Tom, is what we'll do.
Yeah.
What if he could say, like, hey, Peyton Manning, come with me, be the offensive coordinator for a year, something like
so
that.
So I remember talking to Peyton about when he went to Denver. He said it was the hardest thing he'd ever did his first offseason because he had to install everything that he liked, and he had to find out how to translate it because they didn't change verbiage. They didn't change the language there. They kept their language. So he had to re-engineer and relearn everything that he had always done. Like, Brady's been audible into things. The stuff he audible to this year, he's audible in, you know, 15 years ago, the same words, you know. So I just don't know how that would work, man. I mean, that would be
okay, so
much effort.
Let's say he stays.
Yeah.
Do you think Derek, again, is the starting quarterback week one in Las Vegas?
I mean, yes, I do. I mean, that's not probably not the fun thing to say, but
what's Derek say?
He doesn't care anymore. That's what's kind of crazy. Is like last year, he kind of cared about all this stuff, and he was really upset about like the fact that people didn't think that Gruden and him got along, and like there was this beef. And I remember like just even after this last year, when he was done, he's like, I'm done with it, dude. Like, I don't care what the speculation is. They'll say what they want. I know we have a good relationship. We're going to go work to try and win a Super Bowl. We were close. We probably played a little bit better than we probably should have, and we got to a point where we were just outmatched. We didn't have the numbers. We didn't have the guys on offense. If we can find a way to get a guy, and they're in perfect position to go grab a guy, Judy, Lamb, take your pick at the number one wide receiver. Now you got a coverage dictator, Tyrell Williams, all these guys are all now necessarily better, and your run game's great. They don't have any holes on offense.
And you also strike gold. That's also, it seems like a common thing with the teams that go deep into the playoffs. You also, I don't know if it's lucky, but I don't know that anybody in the Raiders organization is like, Darren Waller, 100% definitely going to be a stud.
Exactly.
This needle in a haystack kind of effect. But it is like the Seahawks really benefited from finding those late round guys.
Exactly.
And the Patriots have obviously done a fair. Yeah. Damian Williams looms large. Raheem Mostert. Those that you kind of got to get lucky with.
Well, and then you got to
get anyhow,
lucky.
But anyhow,
you get those pieces in play, and you give Mike Mayock another draft, who knocked it out of the park last year. He's going to do another great job this year. They got a ton of picks. I mean, and your defense gets a little bit better. They obviously need some help there, but you get Jonathan Abram back, who didn't even play. He played one quarter of the first game of the year. He'll be back at safety. You get some help. The defensive line, Max Crosby, played as good as Bosa did this year as a rookie. So, yeah, I think that you roll with what you got. You're literally like one piece away on offense and maybe like two or three on defense.
Okay, now let's talk about that quickly then. I feel that I forgive me for saying things that I've been saying for the last 4 months, DDFP listeners, but I kind of, we're trying to wrap up this season and project ahead. One thing that, and by the way, it's nice to hear that you and Kurt Warner are on speaking terms after you attacked him, after you attacked him with your words. You didn't put him in your top 12. He wasn't in your top 12.
He really was upset too.
Like,
I thought
was,
it was
well.
A joke. He was actually upset at me. I was like, that's
I'm sorry for any role I played.
I almost did a Twitter poll after he was upset with me. I was like, I'm just going to put it to Twitter, and you, we'll see what you
think. That would be mean.
That would be.
Do you want Eddie Spaghetti to do that? Maybe, He'll do it.
I shouldn't have brought that up. Now it's going to be a Twitter poll. That's okay. He's fine. We were good.
Well, I saw him talking about you know, immediately people's minds turn to dynasty, and this team kind of does set up in that way. And of course, the cynic will point to, well, Aaron Rodgers, it looked like, well, that's the start of something.
Yeah.
And they haven't been back to a Super Bowl, and there are a number of examples like that. But this does set up that, you know, it feels like, and this is oversimplifying, but you just give him a ton of speed out there.
That's a good point.
You just load up on speed, and you can keep – that's abundant in drafts, so just keep loading up on that. That seems like a shortcut because most defenses are not going to be able to generate the pressure that the Niners did, and the Chiefs still won that game, but rarely is Patrick Mahomes going to see that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, then he has the extra beat to deliver the deep ball to all those weapons down there. But – the thing that I've also kept pointing out is, as Kurt Warner I saw and Ross Tucker kibitzing about, is what kind of competition is there in the AFC? Of course, it's much more fluid than it was when even Kurt was in the league. Mm-hmm. And Ross Tucker, because of free agency and everything else, situations change pretty quickly. And to that point, 19 of the last 22 Super Bowl participants had a bye, and the Chiefs almost didn't get a bye except for week 17.
Right.
Devontae Parker gets the alleged defensive player of the year in the big spot. Still should have gone to TJ Watt. But anyhow, the AFC West.
Yeah.
I mean, what odds do you think are do the Chiefs run through that division? And can you say safely now, oh, yeah, they should certainly be one of the top two seeds? Because if they're not, and the Broncos look good, and the Raiders roster looks really good, and the Chargers roster looks really good, save at QB. We don't know what that's going to be.
Yeah.
That's a rugged division,
I think it's a rugged division. Yeah, I think that's very – I mean, the Broncos are going to be a lot better next year. You had a receiver in there with Sutton, and you put him on the other side. That offense is now a lot better, and the defense is going to be what they are. I like what they're doing there. The Chargers are going to be legit. You don't know what they have at quarterback, so you can't say exactly. But, I mean, overall, all the pieces are there. I mean, they're there for the Chargers. And then the Raiders are going to be better. So, I mean, I don't think that it's a – and it's a division. Like, this isn't the AFC East. You know? I mean,
Who's the quarterback for the Chargers? Because that's a mate. What if it's Tyrod Taylor? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
is that a 12-win team with Tyrod Taylor?
It could be.
Tyrod Taylor in 2019 would have been a better option.
Yeah.
And you have to roll with Old Man Rivers. Well, but they would have ended up better with Tyrod Taylor.
Well, the one thing that you don't get with Tyrod is he's not overly aggressive down the field, which is fine, and that's why his turnovers are limited. But he's not crazy accurate down the field, big throws. But if they went to Tyrod and they kind of took a little piece from the Baltimore Ravens and added a little bit of that to their mix, which I think a lot of teams are going to try and do.
Oh, I think so, too.
And then I think you have something.
Get to the
you
NFC
got a running
in just
back
a second.
As the head coach. So
let's go, Spaghetti. Chime in here. You haven't said a word yet. You're being very rude to our guest. I don't know why you're
I think it's the opposite.
So apathetic.
I'm letting you guys go for it.
Okay. I saw Daniel Jones in Miami.
Did you?
I told him I every once in a while I'll go talk to a guy, and his name's Eddie, and he likes the Giants a lot. And Daniel Jones is a pleasant young man.
Oh, he knows Eddie. They met at the draft.
Oh, perfect. Okay, good. Yeah.
They had an acrimonious beginning.
Oh, is that right?
Well, not face to face. When the name Daniel Jones was announced,
what did he do?
Spaghetti. I think he said a four-letter word or five,
Eddie.
And then I think he threw something, and then 20
maybe
minutes.
That's why he
you were very upset. And then Daniel Jones, 20 minutes later, walks in to our interview space, and Eddie Spaghetti, glad handed. We got to get pictures.
He was fine.
Can I get a picture with you, Mr. Jones?
I would have had your bets. That's good.
Mr. Jones, reaction, I need a pic.
Reaction on camera to your friends.
You're my new guy.
I have explained this on multiple podcasts about the Giants in the offseason, and David, I'm sure you remember, they were all about Eli Manning. They're all about building around him, the one last push with Eli, and so when you have that draft spot and Josh Allen's still on the board, they need a pass rusher.
Yeah.
You know, if it does not make sense to take a quarterback when you're saying
you're right.
Eli is the guy and then Josh Allen was there.
I know.
Lied to you.
That's all. Nothing against Daniel Jones.
I just hope Daniel Jones doesn't listen to this because then he'll be sad.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's not a good thing.
By the way, I just want it to be made clear, if Derek does have to move, the Handsome Dave's moving company will assist with that. We'll pick him up, you and me, and we'll drive him wherever he needs to go.
I wasn't going to offer that. Usually I try to pretend like I'm busy when he asks to move. But
No, we'll hire people.
Oh,
like
hire.
Spaghetti.
Gotcha. Okay.
We'll get spaghetti, pizza, and stuff like that and get some of his friends. We're not going to actually do it. We'll just drive the car.
Yeah, I like that.
We'll sit up front with Derek.
Okay, I like that.
Okay, let's go through it then. Who are... The Chiefs will be the prohibitive favorite to get out of the AFC again right now. That's how it always goes.
Okay.
Unimaginative people always declare, I don't know. I mean, a year ago at this time, everybody's, I'm in Patriots and Rams. I don't see any way that it's not those two teams getting back. Maybe the Chiefs. People said the Chiefs, but that's how people think. Nobody can get over what they just saw.
Yeah, no.
Now, David Carr, you do better than that.
No, that's fine.
If the Chiefs are it, then the Chiefs are it.
No,
Patriots, are they back in 2020?
Yes.
Are the Bills?
Yes.
I think the Bills are a pass catcher away from being
I agree.
A legit contender.
I saw Josh Allen
division.
At the same place I saw Daniel Jones, and
really?
I really like Josh Allen. Yeah, I really
as
like
a guy,
him.
You mean?
Well, the guy's fine. Yeah, he's great. He's a great person, but I really like him as a player, and I think that they can even do a little bit. I'm saying that a lot of people need to take a little bit from what Baltimore is doing on offense, they do, especially if they have that guy. If they have a Tyrod, they have Josh Allen. Man, that's what I told him, too. I told Josh, I was like, you need to tell them to let you run the football a little bit more because you're great at it. You're a big physical guy. You're not going to get hurt and knocked around.
Does he like it, though? Because sometimes that's the thing you always think as a
fan.
Why don't they run him more? And then you talk to people in the organization like, he doesn't like to run.
I got a sense he didn't like to run. Honestly, when I said that, he was like, oh, I don't know. He's got a huge arm. So it's like, well, the ball travels faster than man. So he likes to throw it. I get it. But I would do something. I like Buffalo. I like Miami, too. I like Miami too. Okay.
We don't know what they're going to be.
Let's say they're not going to be the team.
Here's an X factor at QB, by the way.
Maybe.
Josh Rosen. Free Josh Rosen, Miami. Stop holding him. Hey, you know what? Ben Roethlisberger has that MRI coming up. We don't know what it's going to be. We can't really talk about the Steelers without knowing. Is Roethlisberger ready?
You don't know.
Pittsburgh, the Steelers with Roethlisberger looking like Roethlisberger when we saw him in 2018.
Oh, yeah.
They are in the top three. Yeah. Where you take Roethlisberger out of that, and it's Mason Rudolph on opening day.
Not the top three anymore.
Maybe not in the division even.
Yeah.
But 16. Then if Roethlisberger has to retire, then my solution to that is, hey, Miami, we need Josh Rosen. Send him up.
Oh, nice. I like that. That would be a good fit.
Somebody like that.
Yeah, it'd be perfect. He'd do a great job. And he's a good football player, man. He's had a rough
do you think,
start.
Do you think another guy who makes a ton of loot, if Pittsburgh, that's the X factor for them, obviously, is Roethlisberger messed up or is he ready to go? And if he's not ready to go, do they, in the short term, are they able to say, Ben, let's not try to hang on and see if we can fix this thing. Can you retire and free up that loot for us?
Yeah.
I don't know how that hit goes if a guy retires. That doesn't carry over.
I don't think so. Not if he retires. It's
done, right?
Yeah, it's over.
The Lions have as it stands now in 2020, a dead cap hit of $30 million. I do keep hearing Matt Stafford's going to get traded. Have you heard this?
Wow, that would be amazing for Pittsburgh.
No, well, for Pittsburgh, but for a lot of teams.
If Ben was going to shut it down.
How about for the Chargers?
Yeah.
You know, if you need a QB, then that makes a world of sense. Is that reasonable? Because the Lions have a ton of money.
Yeah.
And if you give up a $30 million guy and you take that hit, that's fine because you can absorb it if you replace him with Tua or somebody like that, right? You can just say, we're going to roll with this kid for now.
Yeah, you have to be able to replace him with at least someone. I mean, because that's
cheaper.
Yeah, obviously cheap, but that's such a huge. I mean, he's a great quarterback. You're pretty much rolling the dice that we're going to ship this guy out of town, and now we just are in the unknown.
Well, but
quarterback purgatory.
Not really. Depends on what you think of the QB you're going to get, but it's not the same as like that. That's the next. Well, we'll look at to the NFC in one second. I want to wrap it up with you because you have important TV stuff to do. All right, David Carr. The Bills make the playoffs next year?
Yes.
Patriots?
Yes.
Jets?
No.
Jets are going to be good next year.
I know, but
I don't like Adam Gase. They should have moved on from him.
That's the only thing.
And is it the end of the world that you made a commitment to Adam Gase for 2020 to now say, okay, Super Bowl's over. Eric Bieniemy, come on in instead. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Gase. We got it sideways.
It's fine.
Why can't they do that?
Well,
too late. Can't do anything now. Like, why can't you do anything? It's the first week of February.
People can do whatever they want.
Couldn't you do that?
Yes.
Anyhow.
Why not?
Okay, so not the Jets.
No.
AFC North. Ravens. Yes. Back in the playoffs, I think the teams are going to catch up with them a little bit. They better do some different stuff.
Let's asterisk them.
Pittsburgh
Steelers,
we can't really discuss.
Can't discuss.
Browns?
Yes.
Why is it? It's such a weird mystery that someday we should really do a deep dive on. Because especially in free agency, the roster's changed. There's nobody even left from 5 years prior. They've blown out everybody in the coaching and the front office and everything else. And yet the stink of the Cleveland Browns stays on no matter what they do. It's really weird.
It is weird because, like, roster-wise, you're like, yeah, they'll be there. But then
shouldn't they be good in 2020?
Just visualize the uniforms and you're like, they can't.
Can I get on board right now and start the Cleveland Browns 2020 hype train?
Are you going to do it already?
I'm going to think about it.
That
Houston
train
hasn't Texans.
Stopped in like 400. Okay.
Texans. Are they on the rise with Deshaun Watson? Is he the next one to get the celebration?
They probably will be in there, but their offense in general is too inconsistent to me.
Jags with Foles.
And they're terrible in situations.
Maybe
Foles
moves too.
Oh, my gosh, they're terrible in situations.
Titans?
I think the Titans are really good on defense.
Uh-huh. I mean, they got the middle taken care of on defense.
I think they'll be there, yeah. They can run the ball. Like, the run the ball is just kind of like, we're going to be guaranteed
you
six
see?
Wins.
It's already begun. We're in the offseason. You know how you know spaghetti? Because you can make it's much easier to make an optimistic case than it is a negative one for any team you bring up here.
But really running the ball is just easy. You hike it and you hand it to Derrick
Henry. Is Joe Burrow enough to make the Bengals a good team in 2020?
No, but he's a good quarterback.
You like him?
Yeah, I like him.
Who am I forgetting there, Spaghetti? We got we ran through the East, we ran through the West. Broncos, Raiders, you want to talk about?
The Raiders will be there. They'll
okay, you got to do that.
Yeah,
Now let's switch to the Stafford looms relevant here if he moves.
Yeah.
Even if he stays with the Lions, am I crazy that they could be halfway decent in year three with Patricia?
No, they'll be better. I don't know.
You know. Packers, Bears, and Vikes.
Yeah,
that division is.
That's the problem, right? They're in a division where they just don't have just matchup wise. It's like UFC fights and stuff. Like, stylistically, some guys just don't match up well. They don't match up well in their division. That's like what I keep seeing.
Okay, I'm throwing around. I'm looking at the division.
If they're in a different division, they'd probably
are the Packers back on top of that division, or do the Vikes get it, or maybe they
want man, it. I want to. I picked the Vikings to be in the Super Bowl like in June, and I thought they were gonna. I thought they had enough.
Yeah, that was. Are you bored, or is this?
No, it's really.
Because we still have plenty of blind spots to fill in. Who are they going to add free agency?
So
who are they going to draft? But
I
this
like,
is the
like,
fun
you look
exercise.
At Minnesota's roster, like they got it. The only thing that I keep thinking is like, Kirk, like he's not dynamic enough. He's just not like we saw Patrick Mahomes and
he's Jimmy G, right?
Yeah.
Which isn't an indictment.
It's fine.
They're in the middle. They're the middle class.
I'd give it that. But I like everything else around that. I like the 49ers better, though. But it's fine.
The East is fascinating between the Eagles, and I do think the Giants rise up a little bit. And the Skins are compelling if Dwayne Haskins turns the corner. The defense is going to be interesting.
They'll have a nice
little
run game, I think.
They got the run game. Yep. America's team, Dak, it now would appear, is going to be going on the
It's so funny. You're right. It's like an optimistic look. Like
I don't know why.
I don't look at them and be like, oh, they didn't do this and this. I'm like, with Dallas even.
Like baseball, you can look at and say, well, that team's going to stink.
Yeah, no, easily. Yeah, you're like.
It's because of the cap.
They don't have that fourth pitcher. It's like he's just not going to. They're going to lose every other, you know. But
and you compare with NBA, like who are their top three versus others top three. Well, we can see who's going to emerge based on that kind of stuff.
It's really
hard. Football
is
weird. A wild card kind of situation is New Orleans. Do you think number 9 puts on the helmet for one more season for Peyton? I get the sense he's walking.
I think Drew's going to retire.
I do too, because why would this is a dumb reason, but why would Russell Wilson say, yeah, I'm supposed to start, but you know what? My hero has always been Drew Brees.
Yeah.
He's going to start and set. Why would you make a weird homage like that in another Pro Bowl?
For no reason. Like, that's what you do. Like, you let Kobe and you let Michael Jordan. You let them start the last All-Star game.
And
that's
if you can't, like, Sean Payton is probably like, hey, Drew, you're dynamite, fellow. I don't want to lose Teddy B and Taysom Hill.
Taysom
and if I keep those two,
more.
I can.
Yeah, and they're a lot less expensive.
Do you have some insight? There's
a
feeling you have a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of insight.
I think he's talking to broadcast company. I think Brees is going to leave.
Yeah, I think he's going to leave.
Oh, you hear that one? Look, Spaghetti writes that down. Maybe Derek Carr takes over for Sean Payton.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, no, he wouldn't know.
He was in Las Vegas, so he wouldn't be able to.
Teddy B and all that. Do the Rams bounce back in 2020?
Yeah, the Rams bounce back.
Playoffs. Niners, Seahawks, and you know who else?
I don't think so because
the Arizona Cardinals are going to be all right. If they can do obviously they have some major gaps in what they're doing, but Kyler Murray in year two with the collection of pass catchers.
Yeah, I think the Rams went too long without a touchdown in the middle of the season, and it made me concerned. I started digging into their film a little bit, and all the concepts are, as much as I like Sean McVay as a play caller, I got it. Like, when you get past the smoke and mirrors, I kind of figured it out, you know, and you gave, you know, defenses an entire offseason to kind of study what they did, and then they weren't the same team, and I'm a quarterback watching it just like, you know, for a day or two just on my laptop, but these guys really, like, dug in, and they shut them down for a while, so, and Jared's not a guy that's going to really bump up over the top of what you're doing X and O standpoint, so I don't think that they make it.
Let's bring it on home. Eddie Spaghetti, get your pen out, and if these come true in, you know, 50-ish weeks or 49 weeks, then we will get that video out and we'll celebrate ourselves.
If not,
and if we don't, it's
never
burned.
Again.
It's lost to history.
I like that.
David Carr, who's in the AFC title game next year?
Okay. Well, you know, I have to. I really do.
You don't have to say Raiders. Your brother doesn't care.
No,
he's going to get mad if you say that.
I really think that they have a chance based on
that the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
Are going to be in the 2020 AFC title game.
I do think so.
I'm telling Kurt Warner you said this. He's going to get upset.
No, I bet he won't get as upset as you think he will. I think he actually probably says there's probably a chance.
With four is the QB, and he's going to take him to the title game.
Yeah. Did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you watch what Jimmy G
played? I did see, but the defense has to be dominant.
Did you watch Ryan Tannehill in the AFC? Okay, I'm just saying. Like,
I believe in the recipe that you're talking about here.
Look, Mike Mayock, I know you're listening because you're an avid listener to the Dave Damashek podcast.
That's not what it's just, called. Dave Damashek Football Pro.
That's what I meant. So what he's going to do, he's just going to just get him a guy. Get him one guy that you had in training camp, then he left, which we both know.
I heard about that.
If you get that guy, they're in this game.
Okay, and then who are they playing?
They're going to play the Chiefs.
The Chiefs. And will it be in Arrowhead or will it be in...
It'll be in the Vegas place. It's going to be right there on the strip.
Okay.
Beautiful, fantastic looking glass, whatever that thing
is. Since it's now early February, I mean, I'll tell you, I think things swing back to the offenses this year. And yet, I mean, I really want to say the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because if that defense,
if Ben Roethlisberger,
and then you drop the Hall of Famer in there, he's the last hope for that generation. Brady is 43. Breeze is retiring. Phil is done. Eli's retired. Aaron Rodgers is getting close to being done. The last best hope for that era of QB is 7.
Can you imagine on the eve of the Super Bowl at Honors next year, Ben Roethlisberger receives the comeback player of the year, and he's in his hotel.
He can't make it.
He won't be there. No,
Dave Damashek has to accept for him.
And you have to accept on his behalf because you called it.
Or Mason Rudolph accepts for him. Something like that.
Sure. I'd rather see you.
We just see Duck Hodges.
Could Duck just come out and do it?
Well, yeah, because he's working in real estate.
Yeah, he won't be on the team, but he can come out and
he works. He leaves
his
job from the used car lot.
The red carpet. He has the duck calls. It's a big celebration.
Hey, I'm here. Where is the Super Bowl next year? L.A.?
Tampa, yeah.
Tampa?
Yeah.
Maybe he's working at a Tampa car lot. He's
fine.
I'm in the area. I'll just go and accept.
You want me to come to the honor? Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah. No, nobody would make that call. He's just talking to an imaginary person on the other line.
Right.
I better go be there just in case they need me. Okay, I don't think
I could see that.
I hate to say it, but the Chiefs are the yardstick now. Yeah. And I don't like that division, though, for them.
I don't either.
I'm going to hold off. I'm going to get David Carr's insight. I'm going to make my picks in 2 days.
That's fine.
Okay, NFC.
In the NFC.
I have to mull it a little bit.
Yeah, I have to mull it a little bit as well.
You can go Vikes again if you want. I do. You know what? The Cleveland Browns are an interesting one to throw out because I do always abide.
Really?
My longstanding rule is when the whole world jumps on board in the preseason of one team that hasn't done anything to earn that excitement, They're a year away. They're not. It's not that year. It's the year after that whole storm. And now everybody's going to be spooked about the Browns. Now's when the getting's good.
Seattle, Cleveland.
That's your Super Bowl?
Well, no. I think.
Well, Cleveland's on the AFC.
No, that's okay. That's what
Seattle?
I mean.
Seattle. Okay.
Seattle. Seattle to me is that team.
Well, DK
Metcalf.
That is
Metcalf. That Cleveland. Yeah.
Huh.
That I think that they.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't understand what you meant.
Yeah.
And they are playing.
Oh, man.
Mike McCarthy's Cowboys? What?
Possibly. That's good, actually. I like that. Yeah, I like that. Let's do that. I think Mike McCarthy got a bad rap in Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers didn't want to do a lot. And they said, oh, his offense is stagnant. It's old school. Then he spent an entire offseason, this whole year, and he watched a lot of tape, obviously studied the games. And I think he's putting together a nice little comeback, almost like Andy Reid.
Interesting. I love it. Spaghetti, do you want to hold off until for a couple more days here before you lay it out here?
I have my picks, but I go for if you want me to.
No, go ahead. If you want to get them down, impress David Carr here.
Chiefs, Texans, and then Rams, Vikings.
Rams, Vikings.
Rams.
I'm not one of those people that think that Sean McVay was like a one-hit wonder and he's done and not a good coach. Like they have.
He's a great coach. He's just not. It's not him, man. He's a great coach. Jared is just limited, and if they're not really running the football well, and Todd Gurley is not what we saw like 2 years ago, that's the big ish. That's the big if. It is.
Jared Goff. The issue is
you can lump a lot of these guys.
What is the opposite of American society in 2020 is the shrinking middle class. The NFL's quarterback. The middle class of that is monstrous now. There are very few detrimental QBs. There are very few guys that are like, well, how could you win with that bum under center?
Yeah, easily.
There are a lot of the guys that are like, you could just swap them back and forth. And then there are 3 to 7 really good ones.
You're exactly right. And Jimmy and Jared, all those guys are all in kind of the same boat. You're like, those guys are good. They're fine. Yeah.
All right. Good times, David Carr. We appreciate it. Was that okay, Spaghetti? A good post-Super Bowl show to do?
It was great. Got a ton of notes. Yeah.
Ton of notes. All right. You did well by Eddie Spaghetti's
That's good. That's
we'll
good.
See what Kurt Warner and Mike Mayock have to say when they hear
it. Just don't tell Kurt about what we talked about.
I'm going to tell Darren Carr. We'll see what he says. We'll see what Mama Carr has to say. Maybe even Derek. Derek's going to be excited.
Yeah. That he's still in Las Vegas.
Well, and also that he's the starting quarterback for the team hosting the AFC title game.
Oh, yeah. He already knew that.
In 49 weeks. All right. That's exciting. All right. So football season is over, or is it? Because the DDFP is here, and now we talk about the game of football and the game of life as we get into the offseason. We're in postseason form. As always, we'll talk to you in a couple days. Until then, great thanks to David Carr, Eddie Spaghetti, and you, the listener. Back in 48 hours. Until then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.